Hi guys, welcome back to 20-somethings podcast. I am Sarah, I am your host, hostess with the mostest, as some people say, and welcome back to my show or my YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you so much for being here. I upload YouTube videos as well as podcast episodes in audio and video format pretty much every week. This week, I'm going to spill the tea, guys. I really should have had a mug of tea here because the tea that I'm about to spill is so piping hot. You're going to burn your tongue. I teased in my last episode, I think, about sharing this story, my recent heartbreak. It's still relatively fresh. This happened about 2 months ago. So I'm going to tread carefully and I'm going to obviously keep everybody anonymous. I heard from a few people after I teased it or mentioned it in my last episode that a few people really wanted to hear the full story. Like I said, I'm going to be anonymous. I'm going to be as even keel as I can be. So I'm not trying to fight fire with fire, but also I'm trying to get out of that like people pleasing, romanticizing headspace where I'm always trying to keep people on a pedestal, because to maybe realize how flawed they actually are, or how much they hurt me or how much they betrayed me, like that's a reflection on me at the end of the day, because I chose to trust them and I chose to let them in. And that's essentially the crux of this narrative that I'm going to tell you. So I do think there's going to be valuable lessons in this. I'm not just saying this to be like a drama starter, although, you know, I love a little bit of drama. But I genuinely think a lot of people will be able to relate to this story and will have gone through something potentially similar to this, just maybe not on this dramatic of a level, because this is some movie shit, let me tell you. Let's get into it, shall we? Get your tea, get your cookies, get your biscuits. And thank you for listening / watching, and bear with me. I'm going to try to tell this story as coherently and as briefly, I suppose. I don't want to go off on a million tangents and digressions, even though that's basically my brands. That's like my brands. So yes, I dated this person very briefly, long distance, 3 years ago. It was when I was living in Belfast, and this person was also from the UK, and we met through a mutual friend on a random night out, and obviously had a very instant connection and very special chemistry that I rarely have experienced. I've only experienced that type of lust at first sight, I suppose you could say. I definitely would not go as far as saying love at first sight. I've only ever felt that once, but that's another podcast, guys. That is another podcast. And yeah, so we had obviously a really special connection, and we went separate ways because I was going back to Belfast, but we stayed in touch through Instagram, and I think we added each other on Facebook. Instead of getting each other's phone numbers and addresses like you used to back in the day, you're just like, oh, what's your Insta handle? What's your TikTok? No, this was 3 years ago. So even more, this was 2019. So it would have been before TikTok, or TikTok would have like just been starting. As far as I can remember, TikTok was not really a thing. Anyway, so we just start talking. I was dating other people and whatever, but we just start talking very casually and friendly via Instagram for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And it was one of those nonstop conversations where you just feel really special. You're like, wow, this person really wants to get to know me. This person's super interested in my life. This person's super interested in getting to learn more about me. And the conversation just flowed super effortlessly, which is one thing I will always say about this person, is they're super intelligent and super witty and super brilliant in a lot of ways. They could keep a conversation flowing, and they always had funny remarks, and they were always able to draw comparisons. Like, and I felt intellectually stimulated by them. Let's just say that. So anyway, we keep chatting and getting to know each other, and then started FaceTiming religiously, like almost every day, and seeing each other physically through, obviously through the phone, but there was tons of physical chemistry and desire there, as well as emotional. So basically like a well-rounded, I wouldn't say we were dating, but we were certainly crushing on each other and certainly invested in like potentially seeing where this could go. So I eventually was invited to go over to where he lived in the UK and stay with his family. They were absolutely lovely to me. I think back on that now and I'm like, damn, I am brave. I mean, I've always known I'm brave. Some call me delusional. I think brave and delusional kind of go hand in hand. But I don't know. He was like, my family's heard all about you. They want to meet you. Like, it's all good, because he was living with his family at the time. And I'm just that bitch. So I'm like, sure. I love a adventure. I love a story to tell. Even if things go horribly wrong, at least it's still a funny story to tell. I never want to live on the safe side of life. And that's why I get in trouble a lot of the time, as you will learn through this episode. So yes, I go and I stay with him and his family for like over a week. I think it was like 8 days. And they were so generous and so lovely and so caring and really took care of me. And it was a time in my life, just for like some context, it was a time in my life when I was really struggling with homesickness and loneliness. I was living in Belfast by myself for like a year and a half at this point. Or no, maybe not. Maybe like a year. And traveling on my own and just trying, living on my own, paying rent on my own. And it was very, very character building for a 23-year-old girl. And I don't regret a moment of it, but I'm not going to say it was easy. I was extremely homesick. I wanted to be pampered a little bit. I wanted to be taken care of. I wanted to be cared for and stop having to like fight to get through every day all on my own. And I was extremely anxious at this time, suffering with like undiagnosed anxiety. I definitely wasn't on any medication or anything at this point. Sorry, I'm going to put a different pillow behind me because my back is breaking. So yeah, basically his family, if there's no way they're watching this or listening, but if you are, I love you and I adore you and I always will. And thank you so much for everything you've done for me, the food you gave me, the guidance you gave me. You guys went above and beyond to make me feel like part of your little family, and I will always appreciate that. So anyway, me and this bloke had a wonderful time, just completely started falling for each other, had all these little romantic moments, but there were some moments, I think, where I was wondering if this guy was really ready for commitment, let alone long-distance commitment, and I did feel like there was definitely moments of immaturity and moments of, I don't know, I don't want to drag him, like I said, but just moments when I was like, oh, he was quite young too. I think we're both the same age, so we were both like 23, and I was just like, oh, like I'm not sure if this guy's quite boyfriend material yet, but I could definitely see the potential, and I knew how special our connection was. So I went back to Belfast, and then we did like a long distance back and forth thing for a few months. But it was primarily me going to fly over to see him. And I felt that lack of effort and lack of prioritization starting to peek through. And I know some people listening to this will know exactly what I'm talking about when you start to get a little bit of that head scratching moment, like what changed? You were literally kissing my feet like a week ago, and now you're nonchalant, blasé, like you are not prioritizing me at all. I don't know. Men, you can chime in with your opinions. Sometimes I feel like people just kind of give up a little bit when they feel like they've gotten someone, when they feel like they've secured the bag. You know what I mean? Or maybe they get scared of their feelings and they start subconsciously pushing people away, or maybe their insecurities bubble out. I don't know. Everyone's different. I definitely started to feel him pulling away and becoming more, he's definitely an avoidant attachment personality, whereas I'm an anxious attachment personality, and I've learned all of this through my therapy and my self-healing journey. And it took me many years to understand that while my coping mechanism when I'm feeling scared or stressed is to attach and seek validation and seek reassurance and seek attention, his was to run full speed in the opposite direction. So that's essentially what happened. Long story short, he stopped making an effort to even talk to me, FaceTime me, wouldn't reply to me, started ghosting me for, I think, 7, 8, 9 days in a row. I know, guys, I can't make this shit up. There were moments I literally thought he was in the hospital or something. Like, I actually had no idea what was going on. I was like checking in with his friends and family, just being that desperate girly. Like, is he okay? Can you get him to talk to me? I was really upset, and rightfully so. I felt like this person was not okay, mentally not okay, physically not okay. And it wasn't even our relationship that I was necessarily freaked out about. I was just like freaked out about their drastic change in behavior and the 180. And I was so confused. Like, what did I say? What did I do? And it made me feel pathetic And so we ended up breaking up. I kind of had my hand forced a little bit because you can only fight a one-way battle for so long. And this person obviously didn't really want to be fought for. And so they kind of gave up, and that's fine. And I gave up too. So I start dating my ex, Carlos, who you guys are somewhat probably familiar with. Him and I are still really good friends. And we dated for 2 years during COVID and everything when I was back in Canada. There was issues with that relationship as well. But one thing I will always say about that man is he is straightforward, honest, and loyal. He knows who he is. He knows what he wants. And you know what you're getting with him. So we broke up very mutually and respectfully, just truly because we were just too different. And like I said, we're still good friends. And it was a really healthy breakup. But that doesn't mean that I should have done what I did. Okay, so me and this other guy, we started talking again, this guy from the UK. You know, he was just chatting casually about COVID and life and how I was doing and how my family was doing. And I was enjoying the conversation, and it felt innocent enough at first until it wasn't really innocent anymore. And there was definitely some emotions and some feelings and just lots of things bubbling up. I had let go of him by this point, and he apologized very genuinely for what he did and how he handled things, and I accepted his apology, and I forgave him, and I wished him the best. And granted, he didn't have to apologize, but like, I was deserving of an apology, but I know you don't always get that from people. So I was very grateful that for once in my life, I actually did have an ex come forward and acknowledge what they did wrong and apologize. But when you hear the end of the story, you'll understand like why this is such a mindfuck. So then things started to get a little bit more romantic between us, and I started sliding back into old feelings, and so did he. And so I kind of dived headfirst, which I will take responsibility for this, but hindsight's 20/20. I sort of dived headfirst from one relationship into another without taking the proper time to heal, do work on myself, figure out my next steps. Wasn't really sure what to do about this new guy in the UK. And he was saying all these things about how I was the one that got away and how he would never, ever ghost me again. He would never treat me the way he did, and how he would do things so differently if he had the chance, and how he's never been able to find another girl like me. And you know, all his friends and family give him a hard time for losing me. And it was just like everything a girlie wants to hear. Like, I truly want to have on my gravestone the one that got away. Like, that's all I want to be in life, is the one that got away. No, but it felt authentic at the time. I don't know that it was. I don't know that it wasn't. It was probably somewhere in between. Like, I think a lot of people have rose-colored glasses when it comes to exes. And I sort of reciprocated some of those feelings, but I was very tentative and very hesitant. And I just was like, well, you know, I like you too, and I always felt very connected with you, and I feel like you understood me in a lot of ways that other people didn't. Like I said, him and I always had this very effortless connection and bond and banter. It always just felt easy with us, which I can't say for every other relationship I've had. But it was always easy and fun when we were together. When we were separate and it came to texting, FaceTiming, essentially communicating long distance, it was never easy, and it was never effortless, and it was never reciprocal. So, and not to mention, me and this guy have always been long distance since the day we met. We have never once lived in the same city, let alone the same country. How crazy is that? Anyway, so this guy, you know, claimed how much he changed and grown. Sorry, there's a train going by. And I really appreciated his apologies, so I kind of tiptoed back into FaceTiming him all the time, and he was talking about visiting Canada, and I was talking about visiting England. And I kind of just hit this realization of like, I think part of it was definitely I needed to get away from Canada and get away from my breakup and everything. I just was moving back from Victoria. I was feeling really defeated, really pathetic, like nothing that I thought was going to work out for me had. And now I was kind of going back to square one, moving back home. So I think I just needed a little trip to like reinvigorate my spirit. So I was like, hey, fuck it, I'll come to see you in the UK. Like, I haven't been to the UK in 3 years. Obviously, you guys know I love it there. It's like my second home. And I don't want to continue talking to you via text for years. I want to know if there's something real between us and if what you're saying is true and if you really have changed. Because otherwise, like, I'm too old. I was 25 at this point. I'm like, I'm too old to be spending years talking to someone online. Like, nah. And it was supposed to just be a fun vacation. I was like, no pressure. we'll just do what lovers do, as Maroon 5 says. Wow, I just am realizing how obvious this is going to be at this point in the story, based on one of my previous episodes. Wink, wink. So yeah, we just said we were just going to keep it chill and casual, which I think was the best decision at the time. I was just out of a relationship. We didn't know whether we were going to see each other and it was going to be Ako Taco and I was going to have to like run to a hostel, or if we were going to see each other and it was going to be like butterflies. And it was the latter. It was butterflies and rainbows, and it was amazing pretty much right from the get-go. Actually, you know, when I first saw him, I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? I had a huge existential crisis moment. I was so quiet and like introverted in my head, overthinking everything. I really was not okay for like the first hour. I was like, this was a mistake. But then once we kissed, I just relaxed a little bit and we had a brilliant time, like the best time ever. I got to see his whole family again, who I had missed so much, and I got to just like reiterate how thankful I was for them and their constant support of me. And I got to see some friends in the UK and in Northern Ireland, and I just felt great. It was a really wonderful trip, and I don't regret that trip because it kind of was the exact reset that I needed, and it gave me a lot of confidence as a person. And I got to see friends, and I got to have sex and all that stuff, so I don't regret it. But this is where it gets a little fucked up. Okay, so sort of by the end of the trip, we started talking about what this meant for us, because I said I loved him, which I did. He started talking about moving to Canada and how he didn't want to let me go again, and how he was like so happy to have me back in his life, and how he was going to apply to get a visa, and he was already applying for jobs right in front of me. Like, I saw him do it. And he was like, fuck it, you don't want to come back to the UK, that's fine, I'm coming to you. Like, I owe it to you to come to you, and I'm not letting you go again, type thing. And if anyone's going to break anyone's heart here, you're going to be breaking my heart, because that's how like devoted I am to this. So of course I'm like eating it up like fucking rice pudding, like, and I was obviously a little apprehensive, but I was like, finally something amazing is working out for me. Finally, a guy wants to like sacrifice for me. A guy wants to move for me. A guy wants to take that leap of faith for me. I feel like I'm always giving like 110% in these relationships, and I'm lucky if I'm getting like 70% back. And I feel like a lot of people could probably relate to that. And I think part of that is on me, is I do invest too much attention and time and energy into people who haven't proven that they deserve it yet. But anyway, anxious attachment style, you know how it is. Yeah, so anyway, I come back to Canada and all was well for like the first month or so. We were FaceTiming, staying in constant communication. My family was super happy for me. Like, they were very doubtful, obviously, at first. All of my friends and family were like, bitch, this is a mistake. You're going to get hurt again. Like, whatever, like, be very careful. And I was like, no, guys, I'm trusting my intuition. And like I said, I don't regret what I did. Not to like suck my own dick, but how brave of me is it to not only forgive someone who really hurt me, but to fly by myself to go visit them again after years of not seeing them, to reopen those old wounds and see their friends and family again. It wasn't easy. I had fun and it was good and it was chill, but like, it wasn't easy. I had several tears and mental breakdowns on this trip because I was so conflicted as to like what I was doing. I don't want to take steps back in life. I don't want to rescind into old patterns and old trauma bonds. My heart just told me like he was the guy for me, and that this was all meant to happen the way it happened, and that everything, you know, we grew and we changed during our time apart, and we experienced new things, and now it was time for us to bring everything we've learned and bring it together and have this harmonious reunion. And we did have a harmonious reunion, but neither of us thought it would be easy when we went separate ways and I moved back to Canada. Like, we weren't going to see each other for at least a few months, and I knew that it was going to be difficult. So we kind of left the door open in terms of like, let's just be chill. Like, let's be, I don't know if this was a mistake or not. I feel like this camera's super lopsided, but fuck it. I'm like, does my hair look gray right now? I can kind of rock the gray vibe, eh? So I was like, let's just keep things open. Like, we're going to be long distance for at least half a year at this point while you get your visa approved and everything. So let's just take the pressure off. And I was just like trying to be that cool girl, but also I genuinely didn't feel ready for commitment at that point in time. Because like I said, I had just broken up with my ex like a few months before. And I wanted to just make sure that this guy was genuinely serious and he had genuinely changed from what happened last time. Spoiler alert, he didn't. So everything was going well until it wasn't. I don't really know when things started to change. I think it was around the time that I sort of asked him to be my boyfriend. Tip, ladies, don't do that. They don't like that. I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. I have experienced like trauma like 5 times in my life from me having to ask the guy, which is like the first red flag, me having to ask the guy to be my boyfriend and them being like scared shitless. Anyway, so he was like, I thought we weren't going to do that. I thought we were going to like stay open. I'm like, yeah, but that was a few months ago. And if you're going to move here in a few months, because at this point he was planning on moving in a few months, then like, what's like, you know, I don't understand how we're going to go from being in an open relationship to being in a serious committed relationship where we potentially live together, like are together, you meet my whole family, et cetera, et cetera. Like that leap just seems too drastic. I think we need to build up the steps of commitment before we get there. It just was like super wishy-washy and clearly didn't know what he wanted or what he was ready for. And I was like, fuck, here we go again. But I kind of like ignored. I was just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt over and over again, like being super. I even sent him a voice memo. I'm going to spill the fucking tea because some of this stuff is brutal. And a lot of this stuff doesn't reflect well on me, guys. Like, I did not play this very cool at all. I did not play by the games that you're supposed to play by, you know, the cool girl shit where, like, don't ever show them how you feel. Like, don't ever blah, blah, blah. Like, I did all the wrong things. I sent the paragraphs. I gave the ultimatums. I did all the wrong things. But when you've already been so hurt by someone and so embarrassed by someone, and then they're starting to do it again to you, I was triggered in every way you could be triggered. Like literally, mentally, physically, spiritually, intellectually, psychically triggered. I was not okay. When I tell you I couldn't eat or sleep for weeks when all of this was going down, I have never really gotten like that before. Like I could not believe that this was how this was panning out. I genuinely was shocked and so disappointed. And I knew I'd have to explain to everybody that this crashed and burned and that I would have to take some culpability for giving him another chance, even though I knew it was a risk. Like I knew that he might break my heart again. And I didn't want to hear that I told you so's. Granted, nobody explicitly said I told you so, but there's always people who subtly say I told you so. Yeah, I sent him a nice little voice memo. And I was like, hey, I feel like I freaked you out yesterday when I brought up the boyfriend thing. No pressure. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And in a few months, we'll revisit the topic when you feel more ready. And, you know, I just want to, I feel like we have something really special. Like, this is literally making me sick to my stomach saying this, but this is actually what I said. And I want to fight for it. And it's not going to be easy, but I want to fight for it. Sent this voice memo thinking he would be like overjoyed. And then he just sent something back like, hey, I just need to think. I'm like, did he just hear the same thing that I sent? And then he ghosted me for 6 days after that. Oh, this is like hurting. It's like hurting every fiber in my being talking about this again, because it was kind of recent, you know. And I was flabbergasted, bamboozled. And so I don't know, we somehow talked again and I was like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, well, you really freaked me out with that voice memo saying we had to be together now. Like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't believe in like long distance relationships. Like, I want to preserve what we have until we're actually together and then we can make it work. He wanted to try to keep things chill so that we could. I know I sound like a dumb, naive bitch saying this, but it makes some sense to me. Like, it made some sense to me at the time. I was like, okay, like, he's just scared that we're going to implode this relationship before we even get a chance to, like, give it a shot because we're going to put too much pressure on each other. But it imploded anyway, so fuck it. I was like, boy, I did not say that. He's like, yes, you did. I'm like, listen to the fucking voice memo again, and you will see that I literally said, no pressure. We don't have to talk about this right now. We can revisit this again in a few months when you're more ready. And this man's like, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm a loser. I'm like, the anger, the vitriol I felt in my soul. I'm like, you just punished me by ghosting me for a week because you thought I said something that I did not say. I was literally trying to comfort you. And instead of just like messaging me or calling me and saying like, hey, can we just chat about what you said? Like, I think I might have misunderstood. You just ghosted me. Make it make sense. So I was like, okay, this boy is still Casper the ghost. Nothing has really changed, but I was in love with him and obsessed with him. So I was like, that's okay. We'll give him another chance. Because he was like, I promise, like, I won't do that again. I'm so sorry. But then he did. He was going through some personal stuff. I don't know. He didn't talk to me about what he was going through. I think he had a very hard time being vulnerable and honest with me. But yeah, I remember distinctly, I walked by this place yesterday, actually, and it very much triggered me. But I remember being on the phone with him bawling because he had ghosted me again for like a week and a half. And I was like, you can't do this to me. Like, the anxiety I feel, like, I literally can't eat. I can't sleep. Like, it ruins my day. Like, why are you doing this? And he's just like, I don't know. Like, I just needed to think. I needed space. I'm scared. And I'm like, like I said, I should have just probably taken a step back, like, given him his space. But also, like I said, I don't have time to waste. I am a hot commodity. I know what I am worth. No, I'm not going to give you 3 weeks of space and not text you and not ask for clarification and not ask for validation because I don't want to scare you away. If I'm going to scare you away, I'm going to scare you away. Toodaloo. Because honestly, the truth is, if we're married, if we're pregnant, that's a lot more fucking scary than this situation right now. You're going to see me at my worst when a family member dies and I'm grieving. When I'm 9 months pregnant and I'm so hormonal. And if you can't even handle a few slightly argumentative discussions, like, and without running away for weeks, then I have no faith in you, not only in a relationship with me, but in a relationship with any woman. Like, good luck. I'm getting a bit savage, but like, facts are facts. Facts on facts on facts. Anyway, but I'm a dumb bitch, so I continued to give him more chances. Yay for dependency. But I also, I think, was very, had become very attached to the idea of him moving here. And I think in some ways that's what I was really hanging on to, was the idea of him in Canada and thinking that things would be so much better and being able to show him my country and introduce him to people who I had like vouched for this man, to all my friends, all my family, like, you know, he's not trying to hurt me. He's a really good guy. He has good intentions. Like, and I still, to this day, I obviously am upset with him. I obviously have put up extremely strong boundaries with him. But do I think he's a malicious, horrible, terrible person? No. Do I think he has to do some work on himself? Yes, but we all do. And I'm never going to paint someone with a huge paintbrush of being like, you're shit, you're not. Like, I think people are way more complex than that. And I value all of the good he did for me, all the times he did take care of me, he did make me feel better, he did compliment me, he did try to open up to me. I recognize that he tried to the best of his ability. But I think I've just matured and grown to need more than what he was capable of giving. And it is what it is. So yeah, essentially, things just started to get worse from there, and I started to apply more pressure because I was just getting obviously very stressed. So I was like, either you come visit me soon and prove to me that you're actually devoted to this and we can try to like rekindle what we had and make a clear plan for the future, or we stop this, because at this point I really don't feel like you're going to come to Canada. He had like stopped talking about Canada completely. Like, I had no updates on what his plans were, what his timeline was. Like, he didn't even want to talk about it, which was a little worrisome. And I just wouldn't hear from him at all. Like, I'd ask him to call me and he wouldn't. And just, yeah. So then he ghosted me, I think, for 2 weeks or so at the end there. And you guys will not believe this. This was, other than Madagascar is probably still the worst rejection I've ever experienced. And we will talk about that soon in more detail. I think I'm going to do a few of these breakup episodes. But again, I'm keeping it anonymous, y'all. But these stories are crazy. Not only are they entertaining, but they're also educational, ladies and gents, on like what not to do if you're the breakupper and the breakup-y. Like, I've made my fair share of mistakes, guys. Like, you should not necessarily take my advice, but I do stand by the fact that I don't let them get away with shit. I don't care if it makes me come across as crazy or needy or whatever. If you're disrespecting me, you're going to hear about it. If you're ghosting me, you're going to hear about it. if you're cheating on me, you're going to hear about it. Like, I'm not going to save your ego by just like stepping back and not saying anything. And you could call that toxic, but in some ways I feel like that's less toxic to just say what you need to say and then to like try to manipulate them through silence and no contact and then coming back and then this, like, anyway. So yeah, other than Madagascar, this was probably the biggest slap in the face, embarrassing, cringy rejection I've ever experienced. I was going through old journal entries. Do you know where this is going? Brace yourselves. Hold on to something. Sit down. So yeah, I found this very, very cute journal entry that I had written about him 3 years ago or whatever the hell it was when I had first gone over to visit him. And it said, you know, something along the lines of like, I can't believe how much fun I've had. Like, I'm totally falling for this guy. He's so great. His family is lovely. Like, I feel right at home. And I'm so grateful that I met him. Yada, yada, yada. Like, it was very sweet. Yes, was it cringy? Sure. But I was like, this might be a good icebreaker. Like, clearly this guy thinks that I am this demanding bitch who doesn't even like him and doesn't ever think he can do anything right. Because I do give off that vibe sometimes. Like, I'm constantly disappointed because I choose constantly disappointing men. But anyway, I know how I can be. Sometimes I can be a little intense and a little intimidating, and I'm not coming across very flattering, but you guys know what I'm saying. Like, it's hard when you've already been hurt to, like, not be consecutively hurt by all these other little things that happen after. Like, your guard goes up. So I was like, I feel like he thinks that I hate him, and I don't. I love him. So I'm going to send him this cute little journal entry to hopefully make him smile and make him feel good about himself. That was literally my intention. You can ask my friends. Like, I ran it past a few friends. Guys, you should have fucking stopped me. You guys should have stopped me. Fuck. No regrets, guys, no regrets. We live and we learn, as Alanis Morissette says. So yeah, I literally sent it to him, this little clip. Like, it was like a screenshot or something. And then I wrote, not sure if you're up to talking to me, because again, he had been ghosting me for a long time. But I found this journal entry and I thought it was so cute and I thought it might put a smile on your face and brighten your day. No pressure, just wanted to touch base. It was something like that. I genuinely like was going in with the best intentions, and I knew it was going to be either a huge success or a huge flop, but I did it anyway because I'm brave as fuck and delusional as fuck, and he didn't reply. Just take a minute to let that sink in. Okay. Guys, that's bad. That's bad. And then, of course, some of my straight guy friends were like, well, it's fucking crazy of you to fucking send that. Like, of course he got scared away. Like, who sends it? I'm like, this man promised me he was going to move to Canada for me. He literally told me he wanted to marry me. And I know, again, you're going to be like, well, girly, like, never believe any of that, blah, blah, blah. But, like, what are you supposed to believe at this point? Like, he really made me feel like I was the girl for him and I was safe with him and he wouldn't hurt me. Like, and I just chose to try. And that was kind of my last-ditch effort, was that journal entry. And when he didn't even reply to that, I was like, fuck, this is, like, worse than I thought. And then the only time he messaged me back was when I was literally in the hospital. I was having some severe health issues because of the anxiety I was facing. Like, my stomach was in knots. I feel like I couldn't eat for weeks. Like, I just felt like the biggest fool on planet Earth. And I just didn't know how things went from being so magical to so bad in the span of like a few months. And I felt so disillusioned. I was like, how was this amazing, generous, lovely guy a few months ago treating me this way? Like, I couldn't make it fit. And I still can't understand. Like, I really still am looking for that closure and that understanding, if I'm being honest. Like, I've made peace with what happened. And I'm grateful that I dodged a bullet, so to speak, in the sense where, like, if this didn't happen now, it would happen in the future, because obviously this person doesn't quite know how to handle conflict or communicate their feelings or their doubt. And until they're no longer an avoidant, this was going to happen in some fashion, you know? But it doesn't make it sting any less. So I was having a really hard time. So I was in the hospital, and that was literally the only time they responded back to me, was when I told them I was in the hospital. Like, you know, a man cares the bare minimum about you when the only time they text you back is if you're on your deathbed. I obviously was not on my fucking deathbed, guys, but you know what I'm saying. Like, really? And then he's like, yeah, we should talk. Like, I'm really sorry. You know, just like the bare minimum. Like, I'm sorry I've been distant, period. I've been going through a lot, period. Like, keeping things super vague. And then he said something like, I've been having a hard time with us or whatever. And then I started to feel like I was being blamed and I was putting all this pressure on him, even though I was trying not to. I was trying to uplift him and I was trying to make him feel confident in our connection. And anyway, so we ended up calling like a few days later and broke up over the phone. Well, I didn't really have a choice. I kept telling him, like, you're forcing my hand here again. You're literally giving me no choice. Either I stay with you and lose all self-respect and all of my value because you've treated me that poorly, or we break up. And I don't want to break up with you because I fucking want a future with you. I wanted everything that we talked about. But at this point, you've done me dirty. You've dogged me multiple times. So what choice do I have? And I hate that feeling of being backed into a corner. And then he kept saying I was backing him into a corner. And he was just being, he was just scared. He was overwhelmed. He was feeling inadequate. I don't know. I do kind of realize it's more, like I mentioned in last week's podcast, like it really is more about him than it is about me. I really feel like it's his journey. It's his struggles. It's his stuff that he's got to work through. And I really probably could have done every single thing differently. And the outcome still probably would have been the same because at the end of the day, he was not ready. He thought he was ready. He thought he wanted a future with me. But when push comes to shove, the actions didn't line up with the words and the promises. And as we all know, actions speak louder than words. So it ended really horribly. I think like the last thing I told him was that he broke my heart and I never wanted to speak to him again and I'll never forgive him. Dramatic, but, and it's just been somewhat uphill from there. I don't think I could have hit rock bottom more than I did before that breakup, and like the weeks before that breakup where we weren't communicating. Like that was when it was the worst for me. That's when I went through the grieving process of our breakup, was those weeks when he was ghosting me and like leaving me on red and not acknowledging me and not giving me clarity. Like that to me was when I was processing that this was done. So ever since then, I've been great. Like, I mean, I've just really been, as I've mentioned, on a journey focusing on myself and my career and trying to make more content. And I, you know, life obviously could always be better. And there's some aspects of my life right now that I'm trying to figure out. But I've definitely come out of this a lot stronger and a lot more weary of giving people a second chance. Well, no, I do believe in second chances, but I don't believe in thirds. So I guess that's that. And moral of the story is you need to forgive yourself if you give someone a second chance or if you give someone a first chance, even though everyone warns you not to and it blows up in your face. At least you have the capacity to love. At least you have the bravery to put yourself out there and to give something a shot. So many people are so jaded and so broken that they can't even somewhat open their heart to someone, or they always go into things half-ass and they're never able to fully try and have hope. So as horrible as it feels to get your ego crushed like that, you just pick yourself up and try again, because one day someone is going to be just as brave as you are and just as vulnerable as you are. Like I said, I don't hate this person. I don't wish malice on them. I really truly wish things went differently, and that I just wish if they wanted to end it, which obviously they did, I just wish they did it with a little bit more dignity and respect. I think they were trying to tell me, like tiptoeing around it and dropping hints and like trying to get me to get the message through the ghosting and through the ignoring me and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not a subtle bitch. Like, just tell me. You need to spell it out, like, especially if you've promised someone the world, then you gotta like let them down easy and you gotta spell it out straight for them. Like, I genuinely hope that everyone is able to become better and avoid this type of pain, and unnecessary pain really at the end of the day. So yeah, I guess that's it, guys. I definitely spilled some tea there. I hope nobody's too mad about it. All right, guys. Watch me scrap this entire episode because I'm too scared. It's not easy being this like honest and vulnerable, honestly. And like half the stuff I say does not paint me out to be the best. But that's not what I want this podcast or this channel to be. I want this to be relatable, honest, real, hilarious, cringy. I want it to be all the things, because your 20s are so chaotic and so full of lessons and so full of mistakes. And I want to talk about all of it. And I'm not ashamed of this story. but it is entertaining and it is educational for the youth. So I don't know what I would tell, like, if someone asked me if I would do it again. I think I would do it again, but I think I would just have my boundaries and my guard way more up and my expectations way lower, which is sad to say, but that's the truth. And I would just really try to prioritize myself and my own healing above trying to make a relationship work when I clearly wasn't ready and they clearly weren't ready. And at the end of the day, like, this forced me into such an uncomfortable place that I had no choice but to put on my big girl boots and do some healing and do some self-work. I was done so dirty and lost so much confidence in myself that I literally had no choice but to actually look within and do a lot of the work that I've been needing to do, quite honestly, for years, and heal a lot of the wounds and uncover a lot of the triggers that I'd been neglecting, because I'd just been bouncing from, like, love to love to love to love and repeating a lot of the same errors within myself and dating a lot of the same men who were, like, emotionally unavailable or immature or whatever. And I'm like, okay, enough of this. I am a beautiful, independent, smart 20-something girl. Let me try to actually for once find some validation and some drive and some perseverance just from within myself. I don't need a man. I don't need a job. I don't need a certain amount of money. I don't need a certain weight on the scale. Like, enough of this, because my life has been like this for years. It's been up and down and up and down, happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy, because I can't, all of these other factors that I'm putting my faith in and I'm putting my self-esteem in, they're fluctuating and they're in and out and they're unreliable. The only person you can truly rely on is yourself. And when you don't have a good relationship with yourself and a good understanding of who you are and how you are, then your life is going to be a constant roller coaster of, like, good days and bad days. And I've finally found more even footing and a way better sense of self and just so much more confidence in myself inside and out. And thank you to this man for breaking my heart, because it really motivated me to better myself. I guess on that lovely note, I will wrap this up. Thank you so much. Please feel free to subscribe on YouTube. This entire episode will be uploaded on YouTube at Sarah Birch. You can also follow and leave a rating and review on whatever streaming service you're listening to. You can also follow me on TikTok at Sarah Birch and Instagram at Sarah Birch, or 20.somethings.podcast. I'm slowly but surely growing. The more content I make, the more I'm trying to put myself out there, put some little videos out there. It's been so much fucking fun. I feel like I've finally kind of found my thing, found my niche, and I'm going to keep rolling. So if you could support me in any way you can, it would be massively appreciated. And I hope, if you're heartbroken out there, that this will ease some of that pain and we can get through it together. Okay. Bye.